Everybody, welcome. Can we have lights? Camera, action. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Oh, that's great worship. Hope that's what you've experienced too. As we worship God, it prepares our heart for the Word. As He is high and lifted up, as our mind goes over these many words of praise toward Him, that then we're ready to receive the Word. And God wants to speak to you. God wants to challenge you beyond where you're at today. God wants to encourage you today. And God wants you to be victorious today and every day. And we need to learn to walk in it. So today we're in Romans 8. What a victorious chapter it is. Oh, how great it is being in the book of Romans, and especially chapter 8. I just want to stay here for a while. I know today I can't do this justice. I worked on it and had writer's block last night, and oh, what a joy in the morning when the block was lifted. But God is good today, so I believe He wants to speak to you through His Word. So let's pray and open your hearts. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, asking for your saints to be edified today by your word, by your Holy Spirit, by the spit and tongue that I proclaim today. Lord, help me as your servant to bring forth your word in clarity and truth. And Father, pierce to our hearts, Lord, your word. And help us to know the depths of your love today, the greatness of who you are, that we look forward to what is to come and what we have in you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going through the book of Romans. Just a little review. The key verse in Romans is, of course, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is the opening key verse, and it is the context of Romans. Romans is all about the gospel. And today, if you're a Christian, you've believed the gospel to be saved. But what we need to do is begin to understand more and more what we have in Christ. And you've heard me say many times during Romans, it's not all pie in the sky when you die. It's here and now. Eye has not seen, ears not heard what the Lord has in store for you in this life. But today, we transition to the pie in the sky. What is to come? The glorification of the bodies. The redemption of creation. And the restoration of all things. And this is what we look, the pie in the sky. Because it's not all when you die. There is stuff we have today. Many things we've been talking about. But today, we're going to talk about the things that are to come. In review, let's just talk about Romans so we begin to understand what we have in the gospel. And what those who don't have the gospel have. Romans chapter 2 and 3 tells us that there's wrath of God revealed for those who reject Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 and 5 is that the gospel is by faith, justification by faith alone. You're made right by God by placing your faith in what Jesus has done. And then we went on to chapter 6, the power over sin. We have power over sin today. And then chapter 7, yet we still struggle with sin today. So then we go into chapter 8 where we're at today. But we know these good news. The gospel is good news. That's what it means. The good news is, even though we still struggle with sin today, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We talked about that a few weeks ago. If you struggle with condemnation, please get that CD or listen online. And today we go, last week we looked at the power of the Holy Spirit and how we need to start walking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. As Jeff said during this worship, that we need to start claiming the Word, using the Word, fighting with the Word. That's why I shouted amen for the other side, because the enemy was attacking him, and he said, but I claimed the Word. And I said, amen. That's what we need to do. We need to learn to wield the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that we may learn to fight in this battle, that we become victorious, that we learn to fight with the weapons that we've been given, that we learn to walk under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we learn to walk in the hope that is to come, which is what we're talking about today. Romans 8 is all about our hope, our security, our victory we have in Christ. And so often we're Eeyore Christians. Oh, me. Oh, here goes the attacks again. Oh, no. And me too. Last night I had writer's block, and you know, that's a terrible thing to do the night before. And I finally just said, that's it. I'll wait till the morning. It's not happening. But you know what? There's victory in Christ. I came here today realizing this morning God gave me the message and finalized it. And I believed He would anyway. But you see, there's victory in Christ. We just got to look to Him. We got to trust Him for it. And sometimes trusting Him is a little scary. Anyway, well, there's hope and victory and security in Christ. And that's what you receive when you place your faith in Jesus Christ. That is believing the gospel. And now we need to learn to walk in the believing the gospel. Why? I've been saying many times, in case you're not getting it, because it gives an illumination through the picture of walking in the shadow of the cross. Realizing what you have in Jesus and walking in it. Believing Him for it. Yeah? That it's finished. Tetelestai. It means paid in full. That your sins are paid in full. If you hold on to that one little truth, when you sin, there will be no condemnation. You'll be able to walk more quickly into the forgiveness of God and learn to walk in the grace of God. If you just remember, it is finished. It's paid in full. It's all done. Past, present, and future. Then we just practically learn to walk and confess our sins and learn to put off the deeds of the body. We learn to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. And this is, this is what we have in Christ, the power and hope we have in Christ. Anyway, let's talk about today, though. The gospel brings hope in suffering. And we all suffer. And this is, I was thinking, who wants to hear a message on suffering? and my wife goes, everybody's suffering. And she was right. It just, who wants to talk about suffering? But we need to realize we have hope in suffering. And all of us are suffering to some degree. Everybody is. And we're going to expound on that. We suffer because we live in a fallen world, for instance. We're going to learn next week about how all of creation is groaning, waiting for the redemption of man and the redemption of creation. It's waiting on tiptoe, waiting, expectant, knowing that God is faithful. And it's personifying, the scriptures are personifying the world as waiting for its redemption that brought about by sin of man. We also are experiencing with the fallen man. We suffer because of fallen man. We live around fallen man who attacks us and is bitter and unforgiving and evil on every side. And we suffer because we live in this body of death. And we suffer because we live in a body of death. As Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I do, I don't want to do. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise be to God and Jesus Christ who will deliver me. So we suffer because we live in a body of death. We suffer with the sin, the morality challenges we deal with within ourselves and from others. Because sin affects others. And we also experience pain. As you get older, you experience much more of this. And that just helps you look forward to the glory that is to come. And you experience sickness in this body of death and sorrow and all these things that God said He is going to deliver us from ultimately and finally at the glorification of us and redemption of creation. Also, we suffer because we're being conformed to the image of Christ. How does that work? Well, God's changing us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. And sometimes that hurts. It's a little bit painful. Sometimes we don't want to change is part of the problem. And we're resistant. And resistance requires more pressure by the potter's hand, you see. He's the potter and we're the clay. You see, and He's shaping us and molding us into something beautiful. And sometimes we're resistant. No, don't change that. I like that. And so He has to apply more pressure to that little lump. And it's like, and these are the trials we go through. You see, and it's like this. It's like God is a sculptor, and He's sometimes when the sculptorist is hitting the blows with his hammer and the chisel, and he's shaping this beautiful image. We don't see it at the time. And can you imagine what the sculptor's thinking? Ow, not there. Ow, stop it. Quit it. But the blows of the master's hand is doing something wonderful in your life. And we've got to realize that God is for you. Who can be against you? This is Romans. And if God, if God did not withhold His Son, what will He withhold from you now? You see, God is doing a work and we've got to believe Him for it. We've got to walk in the shadow of the cross. We've got to walk in the power of the gospel and the knowledge of His love for you. And that's what Romans is all about. And I'm getting way ahead of myself because I'm so excited to be in Romans. Wow. We also suffer because Jesus suffered, and it said that we'll suffer because He suffered. We're no better than our Master. And we suffer. There's a purpose and end to our suffering. So if you're suffering today, realize there's a purpose and end to suffering. There's glorification coming. There is pie in the sky, and it's coming. And you know what? It's not at a theater near you. It's in the promises of God that you're going to have these things. It's in the promises of God that He says, I who justify, I will also glorify. Isn't that good news? That means you're going to be... It's done. He began a good work in you. He's going to be faithful to complete it. Good news. Oh, my goodness. Get back to the text over here, Clint. Oh, well, there's a purpose to our suffering. But see, then we go in Romans 8. I'm skipping ahead because it's all so good. It's all so good. If you get these things, you'll need 90% less counseling. Just by one verse that he turns the bad into good, Romans 8:28. God's working together all things to the good. Even your sin, he works to the good. We're going to see in a moment. Oh, I had a writer's block tonight, last night. Now I get it, I guess. But anyway, there's an end to suffering. You see, you're suffering today. Maybe it's physically. Maybe it's mentally. Maybe it's emotionally. Maybe it's from something in your life. Maybe it's from choices you've made, even. God is so good. He's going to deliver you from the bad choices and sin that you've made. He's delivering you from that, too. Because he says he takes all things and for the good. He turns all things to the good. He can turn your sin to something good. He can turn it into a testimony. He can turn it to experience where you can identify with others. He can turn it into a hate for sin. He can turn it to where you can have compassion for somebody when they're going through it, realizing, me too. I've been there. I know that. I've done that. Well, there's an end to suffering, and suffering does not compare to the hope we have in Christ. And that's the message today. Whatever you're going through today, if we'll look to the hope of glory, that's what the message is today. That there is pie in the sky when you die. And that, you know what? There's a hope that we get in the gospel. The gospel brings hope. And the world needs hope. And guess what? You've got the gospel to give away freely. Isn't that good news? It's all good news. That's the gospel. And see, in the atonement, we're going to get a future glory of the creation, future, a new body with no sin. That, you know, that Romans 7 thing where I sin, but I don't want to sin. Oh, but the things I want to do, I don't do. We're going to get a body that doesn't have that desire anymore. That has, it's all right. This body of death. Who will deliver me? Jesus Christ. That's why we can worship him today. When you're suffering, when you don't feel good, and you're like, oh, when you're in the Eeyore mode, oh. Oh, praise be to God. He's going to deliver me from this body of death and redeem creation. He's going to make it all brand new and all good. Well, God is good. Well, we also get other things. We get this inheritance we talked a little bit about last week. But let's now go into hope in suffering. We all are suffering in some degree. I suffer physically. I suffer attacks. I know you too. Let's not talk about me. What about you? Maybe you're suffering physically. God's going to redeem your body and you'll no longer... There's a coming a time when there'll be no sickness, no pain, no death, no sorrow, no crying. There's coming a time in the promises of God that you'll be delivered from this body of death. And maybe you're suffering at the hands of others, and maybe it's through divorce. Maybe you suffered at your own hands. Maybe it's through many things, like maybe you've had an abortion and you suffer the guilt of that. Or maybe you suffer the guilt of the consequences of the sins you've done in your life. Maybe you're suffering guilt today. Jesus wants to set you free because that's why he went to the cross. Yeah, you've done it. But Jesus paid it all. You see, we need to learn to walk in the shadow of the cross and the glory of what he's offered you through the gospel. Well, we're going to look at hope in suffering, two things, present sufferings and realize these things in suffering or realize in suffering. Let's look at present sufferings first. Whatever you're going through today, whether it be life, stresses. I was even meditating today on stress, how life can be so stressful, can it? Or is that just me? Shake your head if you're in agreement. Is life stressful? Right. Body of death. Body of death. Oh. And maybe it's work stresses. Maybe it's financial stresses. Oh, that's going to be delivered too because my king owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and our streets are paved with gold. Is the financial stress going to be over? It certainly is. Man, all they're doing is got no answers. Jesus has the answers, and that's why we want to proclaim him. He is the hope. Whether it be sickness or trials, maybe it's pain. So many, as you get older, you feel the pain. Well, Jesus understands, and Jesus is ultimately delivering us. If you're a Christian, you have all these things by believing the gospel. But you got to realize that also in believing this, you believe into a hope, an internal glory. You see, we get all this stuff now, but we still live in this body of death. We still live in a fallen creation. We still have the devil loose and running around and attacking us. And we've got to realize the hope we have, the glory that is to come, that we can meditate and focus on when we're going through these trials, realizing this is not all there is. There is hope to come. There's glory to come. This will end because God said it would. It's good news. Well, in the previous verse, in verse 17, it said, and if children, 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now that starts and kicks off verse 18. We're only going to look at one verse today. It says, and if indeed we suffer with him, we'll also be glorified with him. We're called to suffering, you see. And so that verse 17 kicks off verse 18. Let me read 18 again. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I've read too many translations of this. I'm skipping and hopping and everything. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let me stop and say first a disclaimer. We suffer in this life and there's glory and there'll be rewards for some of the suffering we go through. But let me give a disclaimer. It's not talking about suffering for the wrong reasons. There is sin that we commit. There's bad choices we make and we suffer for those. That is the law of sowing and reaping. Don't start claiming those in that these are all under the glory of Christ. These are our sin, this law of sowing and reaping. Why does this happen? We live in a fallen world with fallen man and a fallen body. These will be delivered from. That's the good news. So when I talk about these present sufferings, I'm not talking about your sin or your bad choices. But there's good news, though. Even in the bad choices, God turns the bad into good. Romans 8:28. 1 Peter 2:19 says this, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, for what credit is it if you are beaten for your own faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, that is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered us for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." And then 1 Peter 4:15 goes on to say, "But let not any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, an evildoer or a busybody in other people's matters." So what I want to give a disclaimer before we talk about suffering. It's not talking about this sin and bad choices, even though that's covered under Romans 8:28. We do suffer for our bad choices because we live in this body of death, but we're going to be delivered from all these things. Consequences of sin, we suffer. God's even good on that. Sometimes he delivers us from the consequences. God's good that way, but consequences are consequences. It's a law, and sometimes we sow what we reap, and that's just the way it is. It all comes under Romans 8:28, though, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. So the sin, I mean, we can revel in the grace of God, revel in the gospel that we've been paid in full. We can revel in these things because even when we sin, God is good, because Titus tells us that when we sin, grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly pleasures. So God is good, so we need to learn about that. Even in our sin, we experience grace, and that's just the goodness of God. And we need to learn to experience grace in our sin and give the glory to God. Because it's in Romans 6, I think it was saying about even when we sin, grace abounds. You see, when we sin, even grace abounds, and we need to learn to walk in that. And we need to learn to realize the grace we have in him. What we have in the gospel. We suffer because we live in this fallen world, you see. The devil's after us. The world hates us. Jesus said, if you follow me, the world's going to hate you. So hate you too. So it's just a part of this world we live in. John Stott called it our half-saved condition. Now, I don't like that, but I want to bring it in case that ministers to you. John Stott called this condition we live in now half-saved condition. Now, I want to preface that with, we have everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need for life and godliness. What is he saying? Well, another man put it this way. We're saved. We're being saved, and we will be saved. That's the way it is. We're saved, and what happens at salvation? We place our faith in Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven, paid in full. We get a deposit of the Holy Spirit guaranteeing our inheritance. We have a relationship restored with God, and we're forgiven. And then we're being saved, which we're talking about also in Romans. Sanctification. God's working in you and out of you. The things that at any given time he wants to work in you and out of you. Sanctification. So we're saved. We're being saved. And we will be saved. That's glorification. And he says if he justifies, he glorifies. So this isn't, oh, you're saved, you're on your way, and you might make it. So let me back up, make sure you don't think that's what I'm saying. You're saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. It's sure, it's done, it is finished. You understand? And we're going to see more in Romans how sure this is in God's mind. So we need to have God's mind on these things. See, it's like the sculpture again. what happens is when in our sanctification, when God's working in us and out of us, though, the blows of the sculptor's hand seem cruel at the time. And so we don't understand, but we've got to realize this. There's an end to all this. There's a glorification. The sin will be done with, and we'll be right and with God in heaven. We'll be perfect, and we won't feel the effects of sin anymore. Isn't that good to look forward to? The glory that is to come. And that's what we're to remember when we're going through trials. So there's hope in suffering. There's an end to it all. And these sufferings are not to be compared with the glory that is to come. That's what Romans 8:18 is talking about. What you're going through today does not compare to the glory that is to come. And so we got to remember the glory that is to come. We need to set our mind on eternal minded, it's called. We need to be eternally minded, not worldly minded, not self-minded, not this is what I'm focused on me and this is my trouble today, but focused that this there's an end to all this. That helps us through the present suffering, you see. There's a lot of reasons we go through present sufferings. I doubt I've named them all, and I'm sure I missed some, but I labored to try and find as many as I could. Why do we go through some of these present sufferings? Well, we suffer for being a Christian. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as some think it strange that these things are happening to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of God and Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." So we suffer just for being a Christian. It's a badge. It's called a badge of being a Christian. We suffer because Christ suffered. He says, if we're going to be co-heirs, remember in verse 17, we're going to suffer, right? If we're going to be co-heirs with Christ, we're going to suffer first. Christ suffered, but there was an end to His suffering. Realize that. There's an end to all this. You see, He suffered and went to the cross. And He died on the cross for your sins. And He suffered that He might redeem mankind. And He rose from the dead because you too might rise from the dead if you believe in Him. You see, there's an end to His suffering too. There's glorification. And we're co-heirs with that. And we too will be glorified. And we'll be co-heirs with Christ. And Hebrews tells us He receives everything. And we're co-heirs with Him on that. Beyond belief, isn't it? Other things we must realize in these present suffering. We suffer if we live godly. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, if you desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. You see, so there's suffering brought on by being a Christian, by living godly. We're also called to suffer. Philippians 1:29, for it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Well, that's not real popular today, is it? That's why we go through the Bible here, because we cover all the hard bits. Isn't it good to know that there's an end to suffering? Not popular to preach on suffering in the Western world, though, because we avoid suffering like the plague, don't we? We want to run from suffering. We want to run from conflict, right? Do you realize that in conflict and in suffering, God teaches you sometimes the deepest truths? Whatever you're going through today, you could be coming to know God in a deeper way. It's called the fellowship of His sufferings, that I may know Christ in the fellowship of His sufferings. You see, through suffering is when we learn the deepest truth. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you realize this. You realize, you look back on your life and you realize, when did I grow? What did I learn? And you realize it was through suffering that you learned these things. It's not through the good times, guys. It's through suffering. You see, there's a purpose and end to suffering that you're going through today. Right. Even if it's physical ailments. Because you know what? Physical ailments teach you to depend on God, teach you to trust Him. Even if it's emotional, it helps you to look to God and look to Him for comfort. Whatever it is, it's from others. If it's from others, you realize the grace you need to have and what your response needs to be. And you need to have grace upon grace. You see, God's working into you an eternal weight of glory. Jesus suffered. He suffered a death, but He was crowned with glory and honor, Hebrews 2:9 says. There's an end to it. He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Jesus went to this immense suffering. He kept telling the disciples about it over and over again. They didn't hear it. Did you ever notice that? He kept telling them, I've got to go to Jerusalem and die at the hands of the Pharisees and the religious people. He said it many different ways. I've got to go and die. Hey, guys, I've got to go and die. And he kept saying it, but they never got it. And that's so much us in the Western world. We don't want to know about suffering. We want to run from suffering. We want to run from conflict when God wants to teach you the fellowship of His sufferings through suffering. Now, I don't got all this right. I don't always look to the glory, but that's where I need to go, and that's where I eventually end up. You see, and that's what we need to learn to do more readily, more quickly, is to look to the Word of God, look to what God's promises have for us, so that we can look up and not be Eeyore so much. Eeyore, I'm being Eeyore now. Oh, wait a minute. Let's claim some truth. I've got the eternal weight of glory coming. I'm at the hope of heaven and eternal life. My sins are forgiven. Go through the whole list. I won't do it again. Jesus suffered. Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. You see, and I just mentioned that, how Jesus suffered, and when we suffer, we identify with Him, and He identifies with us, and we realize that when we suffer, He knows suffering. And we can go to Him, and that's what we need to learn to do. Quit going to others. Quit calling up your friend. Go to Jesus. Yeah, it's okay if you do. That's where you're at. But we need to learn more to go to Him. Go to His Word. Because He is sufficient for all things. And sometimes we do need a little help. Sometimes we need a little help to claim the right truth. Sometimes we need a little help of encouragement. Because we can't see what God's doing. But if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you realize it's through suffering you learn the deep truths. I can go back to the worst times in my life and I can just rattle off things I learned. And at the time, they were unpleasant, weren't they? I wouldn't choose to go through that again, except maybe in hindsight. But at the time, I was like, oh, I wish this was just in. I could get back to normal. But through all these things, God taught me deep truths that I am able to help others with today because I learned them deeply rather on a shallow level of head knowledge only. See, there's hope in suffering because it'll end. And the suffering can't be compared to the glory that is to come. That's the message in verse 18. There's hope in suffering. We need to look to the glory that is to come. So in review, what we've talked about, God works it to the good. These present sufferings are because you're a Christian. These present sufferings are because you're living a godly life. If you choose to live a godly life, you will suffer. We're called to suffer. Jesus suffered. And we get to know Christ in a more intimate and deeper way through suffering. That's a few things we've talked about in these present sufferings. But we don't like them in the West, do we? We have every medication and every escape to avoid suffering. Now let's face suffering with a different outlook. Let's face suffering. Jesus faced suffering. I'm called to suffering. God, what do you want to teach me through this? That was my question last night to God. Okay, what are you trying to teach me through this? I've had a blank for 6 hours. I pressed and kept trying to study and had a total blank. Couldn't write. Writer's block, if you're a writer, I guess you could say. I said, okay, finally, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Clint, don't you remember? I always come through. I always come through. I said, yes, right, Lord, you always come through. So I'm done studying. I'm going to wait till morning and see if you lift it. And if not, then I'll go and preach without notes. Because I'm going to trust you that you want to speak to your people, especially on suffering, that you might have hope. And that hope is found in the gospel, in what Jesus has already done for you. You already have it. It's done. You've been justified, and you will be glorified. But you don't know what I've done this week, Clint. I really send it up. You were justified, and you will be glorified. Oh, but you don't know what I did. It was sexual sin. You were justified, and you'll be glorified. And the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly pleasures. How could a God of love forgive me? How could a God of love send His only Son to die on a cross that you may be forgiven, that you may be made right with God because He loves you so much? He sent His only Son to take the wrath and penalty of your sin. That's the love of God, and we're going to get more to that in a couple of weeks. So, part two now. Realize these things in suffering. The present sufferings don't compare to the glory that is to come, but now let's talk about what we need to realize. Numerous things. If you don't have a pen, you'll forget 80% of them before you have your first sip of coffee. But here we go. I recommend you bring a Bible. Recommend you bring a pen and paper. But here you go. Here we go. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. First of all, we must Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:16 if you brought your Bibles. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:16. There's an end and purpose to suffering. And we've got to realize that. So when we're suffering, we've got to say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Most of the times what God's trying to teach us is dependence on Him, to trust Him. Yeah? That's usually what trials are about. 2 Corinthians 4:16. This is a great scripture. I remember my little spiritual mom quoting this to me all the time with a big smile on her face. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at these things which, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for these things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our light and momentary affliction, she would smile and tell me, my little spiritual mom, I got saved and daughter brought me to the Lord, and she would sit by me in the front row, and I'd go through my little trials as a new Christian, and she had a big smile. Lovingly, mother, your light and momentary afflictions. Didn't understand them at the time. She gave me the quote, but I learned them through suffering. I learned them that these things don't matter. These things don't matter. Actually, the big things are easier to take than the small things. Well, for our light and momentary affliction, which is working for us exceeding an eternal weight of glory. You see, what we're going through is light compared to what we get, right? It's like you work for a paycheck. Hopefully it's worth it. But it's our light and momentary afflictions are pale in comparison to the glory that is to come. What we're going through today pales in comparison to what we get in the future and what we have in Christ even now. You see, these things are called being eternally minded. It's not about just what you're going through now, but it's looking to what Christ is trying to do and looking to the future of what you have in Him. It says, don't lose heart. The outward man is perishing. This body will die, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It goes back to the ground from which it came. But you'll be received a new body without this sin dwelling in it, this body of sin, this body of death. And look at the suffering in light of glory is what we need to do. This text says, and also Romans 8:18, in light of glory, and it's all temporary. What we're going through today is temporary. It's just a temporary, and a blink in the eye of eternity. So we need to realize these things are temporary. Look at what Paul went through. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was thrown into the sea. He was cast into dungeons. No problem. He caused these things light afflictions. Oh, may the Lord do this in us, that what we're going through today would be light affliction. And, you know, I know these things can be heavy, what you're going through. The guilt of the past, the sin of the present, the attacks of the enemy, the attacks from others, the physical infirmities, the emotional torment, the mental torment. These are light and momentary afflictions compared to the weight of glory. We've got to realize these things. We've got to walk in what we have in Christ. And that's what Jeff was talking about in claiming the truth. We need to learn to claim these truths. Oh, it would have the heart of Paul and realize these are light and momentary afflictions. And we need to endure them for now with joy and rejoice that we're counted worthy to suffer even. We'll talk about that in a moment. Turn back to Romans 8:18. So there's hope in suffering because it's temporary. There's hope in suffering because there's glory to come. There's hope because we'll be redeemed. The body will be redeemed. Creation will be redeemed. All these things will pass away. There's suffering because we're being conformed to the image of Christ. There's pain in being shaped and molded. And there's pain in God making us like Christ. There is. It's hard. It's not always easy because we go through trials. God has to put us through trials and testings to make us conform to the image of Christ, Romans 8:28-29. And we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, you're being conformed to the image of Christ. How far do you got to go? You're being conformed to the image of Christ. How many chisel blows of the master's hand do you need to get closer to that? There's a story of a little piece of wood. A little piece of wood complained when its owner was whittling away and cutting at it and filling it with holes. But the one who was cutting it paid no attention to the complaining of the little piece of wood. He was making a flute. He was wise to not stop even with the complaining, even though the wood wept bitterly. The craftsman knew it would be but a stick without the cutting and the carving. Yet you think I'm destroying you, he said to the little piece of wood, but instead I'm making you into a flute. You will charm and bless others. You will calm sorrowful hearts, delight and comfort people. My cutting you is the making of you, so you can be a blessing to the world. Isn't that like us? The chisel blows of the master's hand may seem cruel at the time. And he's lopping this off of you, these sin living within us, these preconceptions, these predeterminations of our will. As he's lopping them off and conforming you to the image of Christ, there don't seem pleasant at the time. And we may complain. As we'll see next week, we may even groan. Oh! As Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? When we groan, we realize the master's not bothered by the complaining too much, even though it is a sin to complain. He knows it must be done to conform you to the image of Christ, just like the little piece of wood. He kept complaining, but the craftsman wouldn't stop because he knew he'd be yet a piece of wood if he did not keep carving and digging the holes. You see, sometimes God's digging in us, and it don't feel good, does it? We want to resist. We want to run. And you can run from the master's hand, but the master will come back around again with the same plan. Because his purpose is to conform you to the image of Christ. He predetermined that you'd be conformed to the image of Christ. So, let me tell you what. If God predetermined that you'd be conformed to the image of Christ, let me tell you what. You don't want to fight against that. Because His will be done. We can do it kicking and screaming. Or we can do it and become pliable potter's clay. And let God mold us and shape us into what He wants us to become. So when we're suffering, we need to realize, what's God doing? God's got a plan. And when if you can't understand that, remember the weight of glory. Remember the weight of glory, the hope that is to come, the rest of your redemption that will be there. You're saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. Because He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And we're going to learn more about that in Romans. But also, as we go through, what else do we need to realize in suffering? We need to have a good attitude towards suffering. Acts 5:40 and 40-42, the apostles had been preaching the Word of God, and they were brought before the Sanhedrin, the council, and it says this, and they agreed with him, speaking about the council, what they came to decision of, when they called for the apostles and they beat them. They commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and then let them go. And so what happened? What attitude did they have? Beaten again for Christ. No, we need to capture this spirit. We need to realize that we're just yet vessels fit for honor, that we're just yet soldiers of Christ, that we live in a temporary situation and there's glory to come. What did they go away doing in Acts 5:41? So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Are you there yet? I'm not there yet. Are you there yet? We need to look to the hope and the future glory that we have in Him and realize that we live to glorify Him, created to glorify Him. And so they were rejoicing, counted that they were worthy to suffer shame for His name. We need to claim these truths. We need to go into these things and realize, Lord, I'm going to take it for Your name. What did they do? They didn't just rejoice. They were told not to speak about Jesus anymore. What did they do? And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. You can't stop this. And they didn't stop it. Christianity went around the world and still is, you see. But we've got to have the right attitude to be able to face the suffering and the attacks that we go through, to be able to glorify God, to be able to accomplish what He wants to do in us, for us to be conformed to the image of Christ, for us to bring glory to Him. Now, we need also, when we're suffering, don't feel like God is against you. So often when a young Christian especially, I remember doing this. What have I done, God? Why me? We need to realize that God is not against us. In the coming weeks, we'll be talking about all these things. These are such an encouragement, such things that you need to remember, such things you need to know, such things you need to apply to your life and walk in these truths of what you have in the gospel by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, what you have in Him. So, in review, we've talked about the present sufferings. We're all called to suffer. We go through them. But they don't compare to the glory that is to be revealed. We're going to see creation redeemed, our bodies redeemed, and this is what we can look forward to. And next week we'll be talking about these and how we long and we groan for these things. So if you've been groaning a little bit lately, you can see why and understand a little bit that, oh, praise God, who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise be to God and our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who will deliver me from this body of death and deliver me into a paradise. So these present sufferings, they cannot compare to the eternal weight of glory. Do you realize that? There's hope in suffering today. I hope that's been made clear to you. Whatever you're going through, there's hope if you have Jesus Christ today. There's an end to it all. And these sufferings cannot be compared to the glory that is to come. In Revelation 21, I'll close with, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." There's hope in suffering. There's an end to it all. There is pyre in the sky, but it's not all just when you die. There is eye has not seen and ear has not heard what the Lord has in store for you today. Rejoice in the Lord. I say again, rejoice in the Lord. For He is good. Live in the shadow of the gospel. Learn to live in the glory of what Christ has already done for you. And learn through suffering to realize what is to come. There's hope in suffering. Start looking to Him. Father, I come to You in Jesus' name saying, Lord, help me to be stronger in suffering. Help me to take the abuse of others more readily and even more accurately. Help me to take the little things that niggle me all the time. Help me, Father, to have joy as I walk with You. As I look forward to the glory that is to come, as I learn to walk under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit, the truths that You have given me in the shadow of the cross. Thank You, Jesus. I pray today for all those whose head is down, they'd be lifted up. I pray for all those who are suffering today, they would take to heart the truths of this message. In Jesus' name, amen.